The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Jesus' parents brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written, in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there, fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Today, we gather together to celebrate one of the highest holy days of the church calendar. Now, for those of you who are inclined to think I'm talking about the Super Bowl, sorry to disappoint. I'm talking about the Feast of the Presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. What is it that we have here in the readings? They are complex, and they are an example of what it meant to be an observant Jew. Jesus is presented in the temple at exactly 40 days after his birth. And that is in keeping with the Mosaic law, which is the law of purification, which requires that both mother and child enter into this process in the temple. And so they arrive, and there they are met by two prophets, Simeon and Anna. Now, Simeon has received a vision from an angel at some point in his life that he would not see death until he saw the coming of the Messiah. And Anna, who was 84 years old, pretty remarkable feat for a woman in Palestine at that time, was 84 years old and was known to be in the temple praying and fasting all of the time. They see this child Jesus enter into the courts, and they immediately recognize him as someone different. Simeon says, "These eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have sent for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel." Immediately, Simeon recognizes who this child is, and he gives thanks and praise and glory to God, for he knows now that Jesus has entered into the world to set his people free. What a remarkable feeling that must have been for him. Because as he was aging, he must have been saying to himself, Lord, how long must we wait? How long must we experience our suffering? How long must we live at the oppressive hand of the Romans? How long, O Lord? When? When are you coming? This set of scriptures also deals with the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He says to Mary, and a sword will pierce your soul. Now, what is that about? He is predicting, he is prophesying about what is to happen to Jesus. And he is saying to Mary, oh, you have no idea at the suffering that your son is going to experience and that you are going to experience because you as a mother will have to watch him go through this. You as a mother will have to stand there in front of the cross and you will be powerless to do anything to help him. It is the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is a teaching of the church, that Jesus substituted himself on the cross so that you and I wouldn't have to. It's a hard concept to deal with in my mind. It's a hard concept to deal with. And from my perspective, it does not fully capture what it is that is going on at the cross. And why it is that Jesus is on the cross. I think it has far more to do with the reality that Jesus in the incarnation came into the world to be with us, to be like us, to take on all that you and I have to deal with in life. And I believe that he goes to the cross for a reason that is much larger than just substituting himself for our sacrifice. I believe he goes to the cross because he knows that we are already there. He wants to be so fully present to us, to be so fully with us in this journey we call life, that he goes to the cross to meet us and to be with us and to support us. Who among us doesn't know suffering? Who among us doesn't know loss? Who among us has not had to sacrifice in some painful way? And you see, Jesus is willing to enter into our lives so fully that he meets us at the cross. It's more than substitution. It's Jesus saying to us, I am all in. I will hold nothing back from you. I don't know about you, but I find a great deal of comfort and peace in that. Much more comfort and peace in that than the horrific sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The torture, the torment, the hanging for hours. I understand that that's part of it. Our scripture tells us that. Our Book of Common Prayer tells us that. It is the classic understanding of what it is that Jesus did for us. But it is so much more than that. You see, God so loved us that God entered into the world. And we see that at Christmas, the incarnation. Takes on flesh and blood and bone and sinew and enters into our experience fully. And he is presented in the temple as the firstborn child of Mary and Joseph, consecrated to God to do God's work. That's why this feast day is so important. Because it is an acknowledgement, it is the first acknowledgement, if you will, of who this child is and what this child will do. And it points to some really harsh realities. It points to the fact that you and I are sinners. It points to the fact that you and I fall short of the mark. But it also points to the reality that we have a loving God in Jesus Christ, who is willing, who is all in, who is able to comfort us in our sorrow, in our suffering, in our trials, in our tribulations, because he has been through them himself, and he is right there with us. And so I understand when Simeon says, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for these eyes of mine have seen a Savior, just as you have promised, a light to enlighten the people and the glory of your people Israel."